Jordy Chapman dodged Greg Union's right hook. "Come on, really?" she asked, her voice hoarse and low. He charged at her, grabbing her around the chest and neck, and they both slammed into the wall. Jordy's breath came rushing out, and the pressure of his arms around her kept her from being able to take in a deep breath. The pressure of the wall against her vertebrae made her wish for a little more padding. Greg Union let out a roar as Dante Germain yanked him off of Jordy. She leaned over briefly to steady herself as Dante tackled Greg to the floor and pinned him there.
"Wow, Mr. Union, you just gone and wasted your best chance of having a good day," Dante said as he glanced over to Jordy. "You okay?"
"I'm fine," she muttered. "Get him secured in an SO. And by secured, I mean the works."
The SO, Special Observations, contained rooms that were much more private, each with concrete walls, a bed, and anchors on the floors for restraints.
"See what I mean?" Dante asked Greg.
Jordy turned then and saw the look of shock on her newest employee's face. Alexis Van was pressed as far against the wall as physically possible. She gave Alexis a shrug and smile.
"Hey, I gotta pee,"
Greg Union complained. Jordy shrugged again.
"Maybe Dante'll be nice and bring a portable urinal into your new digs for you."
Out of habit, she patted her breast pocket to reassure herself that her ID was still there. Jordy let herself out of the Cypress Haven Emergency Services intake room and shut the door behind her. She stopped briefly in the hallway to take a mental note on where she hurt. She could feel a knot starting on her left wrist where her hand must have hit the wall.
Not how I wanted to start the day.
Back in her office, she straightened the collar of her button-down shirt and then tucked it neatly into her khakis before beginning to work on the clinical assessment for Greg Union's file. Her ribs, just to the side of her right breast, felt sore. She typed up the form, feeling the ache in her wrist growing with every keystroke. On her way to the restroom, Jordy ran into Dr. Deanna Hammond, one of the two full-time psychiatrists on staff. "Hey, Jordy." Deanna held a clipboard close to her chest. Every time Jordy saw Deanna, she had the clipboard, a notebook, or her arms pressed against her large breasts. If she hadn't seen her do it even when she didn't know Jordy was around, Jordy would have gotten a complex. "You wanted to know when MB would be discharged?"
"Yes. Do you have any idea yet?"
She knew Deanna was referring to Molly Bender. They always identified clients by initials in instances like this for the sake of privacy. "Today." Deanna pushed her thick, silvery gray hair away from her face with the hand not holding the clipboard against herself.
"Today?"
Jordy asked, and then decided to check her voice.
"Wow,"
she said lower. Jordy had had disagreements with both full-time and all four of the part-time psychiatrists at one point or another. The issue was usually about whether clients should be admitted or when they should be discharged. Ultimately, it was the doctor's decision. But as emergency services coordinator, Jordy would be remiss if she didn't at least voice her concerns.
"That's great," she added. "I'd love to pop in and say goodbye."
Deanna raised an eyebrow.
"What? I promised her I'd stop by to see her before she left."
She raised both hands, palms out.
"Nothing else, just goodbye."
It was no secret the doctors talked, so Deanna would know of the argumentative history between Jordy and Molly's first psychiatrist there, Dr. Jarvis. Molly Bender's story was sad and victorious at the same time. The last time Molly was brought in under the Baker Act, Dr. Russell Jarvis decided not to admit her. The Baker Act allowed law enforcement, staff at crisis stabilization units, such as Jordy's, and courts to involuntarily commit people who were in a mental crisis to a CSU facility. When Dr. Jarvis decided not to take advantage of the opportunity to mandate that Molly get help, Jordy was furious and they'd gone a few verbal rounds.
Always, the bottom line was always, that what the doctor said went, and Molly was released just to end up in the hospital after an attempted suicide.
Jordy followed Deanna down the drab, nondescript hallway until they got to the administrative area. At least this time, Dr. Hammond was working with Molly, so Jordy didn't have to worry about Dr. Jarvis making a call she didn't agree with for the second time.
"Miss Chapman," Molly exclaimed, "you did come."
"Of course. You don't think I'd miss a chance to say goodbye, do you?"
Jordy gave her a side hug. Anything more than a one-armed hug would be disrespecting boundaries. Most clients realized that. She really hoped Molly did.